Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The sermon this morning is based on our second lesson from Romans chapter 11. If you would like to follow along with the written sermon notes, you'll find those at the bottom of page 2 in your bulletin this morning. Since the sermon for our series on the book of Romans this morning is based on Romans chapter 11, and since Romans chapter 11 is among the more difficult sections of Scripture, I decided it was time to invoke what I call my study Bible rule of thumb. My study Bible rule of thumb works like this. When there's a difficult section of Scripture, I take out my study Bible and I look to see how much of the page is occupied by notes about those verses compared to those verses themselves. It qualifies as a difficult section of Scripture if there are more notes on the page than there are actual words of Scripture. Well, not surprisingly, Romans chapter 11 qualifies. In my study Bible, a single chapter of Romans, which should occupy one page typically, is three pages in my study Bible because each of the pages has over half of it covered with notes trying to explain what the Apostle Paul is getting at. If you read around a little bit in various theological circles, you will find all kinds of different interpretations of Romans chapter 11, of people saying, this is exactly what the Apostle Paul meant when he wrote these words. Has God rejected Israel or not? Will God save Israel or not? Is God faithful or not? Has God called Israel and then rejected them to call the Gentiles? Does the mission to the Gentile church mean that Christians and the Christian church need no longer be concerned about Israel or Jews? Will God possibly ever reject the Gentile church? Maybe all of these questions could be summarized with a single question. Can God be trusted when he makes promises? These verses from Romans chapter 11 are kind of like this illustration that is behind me. If it's difficult to see on the screen, it's also found on the front of your bulletin this morning. This is an illuminated manuscript by the artist Willem Vreeland. If you were to examine this artwork up close, you would see an amazing array of flowers and vines, of curlicues and doodads, a swirling maze of figures that is hard to follow. The sheer number of intricate details is fascinating, but also ultimately can be confusing. The danger in both cases is that you can't see the forest for the trees. You can get so focused on each little detail, whether it's in this illustration or in Romans chapter 11, that you lose the big picture. You pursue all of those little doodads and curlicues, as interesting as they might be, and pretty soon, you're lost in those details. It is easy to get so lost in the details of specific phrases in Romans chapter 11 that you lose sight of God's greater story. All of which, of course, leads to the question, so what is God saying? What is God saying through the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 11? God promised that he would bring salvation to his people through Israel, specifically through a descendant of David. and that this salvation would extend to the ends of the earth, that it would be for all people. God chose one nation, the people of Israel, to be his people, to be his instrument. And despite the fact that many of his chosen people have rejected God's Messiah, God remains merciful. He continues to call all nations to follow Jesus Christ, all nations to receive through Christ the forgiveness of sins, including the Jews. And Paul lives in hope of an even greater day, when those who are his brothers and sisters in the flesh might become brothers and sisters in the Christian faith, that they too would trust in Jesus as their Savior. But back to the illustrated manuscript for a few moments. If you were to step back a little bit, or not pay so much attention to the flowers and vines, to the curlicues and doodads, you would see that all of that part of the illustration basically forms a frame around a picture. The picture is that of King David. King David is kneeling in prayer. There is an empty throne behind him and a harp on the floor in front of him. And if you were to follow in the illustration the angle of his gaze heavenward, you would see in the right-hand corner of the picture portion of the illustration a depiction of God. I know it's kind of small to see, but God there in the illustration is raising his right hand in blessing, and in his left hand he is holding the world. God is the one who establishes kings. God is the one who opens the mouths of prophets. God is the one who called David to his throne. God is the one who promised that a descendant of David would be a greater king whose kingdom will have no end. And so for centuries, God's people clung to that promise that God had made. And as Paul writes these words, he writes them as God's promise is being fulfilled in the flesh, in the person of Jesus Christ, a descendant of David, a greater king from the line of David. God has a greater story for this world. It is not a story of, it doesn't really matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. It is not a story of, well, all spiritual roads lead to the same place anyway. It is a story of a Jewish carpenter's son who was and who is the Son of God and who came and suffered and died for the sins of all people, Jew and Gentile. And he did so that all might be saved. It is a story of God who is faithful to his promises. The bottom line is this: God remains merciful. At the end of our lesson from Romans chapter 11, Paul writes these words: "For God has consigned all to disobedience, that he may have mercy on all." God desires all to be saved, all to repent, all to turn and to trust in Christ, starting with you and with me again this morning. This morning we again have acknowledged our sin before God and received God's gift of forgiveness. We have acknowledged again today our dependence on Jesus Christ. And he invites us to be a part of that greater story as we share that message of grace and of mercy with others. God's word, God's message brings people life. life to the Apostle Paul, life to you and me, life to those who encounter that message of mercy and grace. Each one of us has the opportunity to be an in-the-flesh example of God's mission of mercy as we reflect that mercy of God to those around us. What about you? What conversation is God calling you to have with someone else? Where is God calling you to show his mercy to others by being merciful? God is here today, forgiving your sins. God is here today for others as well, that they too might know Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. He will not stop. He will continue to seek to accomplish his purpose, that people to the ends of the earth will trust in Jesus Christ. He will accomplish his purpose. He will work through you and through me to accomplish his vision, that greater story of people of all nations trusting in Christ, being a part of the body of Christ, the new Israel in Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus now and forever. Amen. I invite you now to stand as you are able.